Afternoon, everyone. The Early Learning and Elementary Education Subcommittee will now come to order. For the record, please remember to turn on your microphones for the roll call. Kirsten, one last time, please call the roll.
Chair Lupus.
I'm here.
Vice Chair Coster.
I'm also here.
Ranking Member Davis.
Here.
Representative Caruso.
Happy New Year.
Representative DeSegli is excused. Representative Duggan.
Here.
Representative Hawkins.
Here.
Representative Hunchowski is excused. Representative Lamarca.
Where else would I be? I'm right here.
Representative Learned.
Here.
Representative McCurdy.
Here.
Representative Mooney.
Here. Happy New Year.
Representative Nixon.
Here. Happy New Year and Happy Black History Month.
Representative Roach.
Present.
Representative Rodriguez.
Present.
Representative Tribolsi.
Good timing.
Happy New Year, Happy Valentine's Day, Happy Black History Month. Let's just be happy.
Representative Trunow.
Here.
Representative Williams.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Kirsten. Let the record show that a quorum is present. I look forward to hearing from somebody for the actions of our committee. Members, please remember to silence all electronic devices and be recognized by the chair before addressing the committee or the presenters. Members, we have three wonderful policy bills on the agenda today, and we are going to begin with HB 289, School Absence Due to Sickness or Injury, by the Representative Valdez. Afternoon, Representative, you're recognized.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Lupus, Vice Chair Coster, and Ranking Member Davis. Thank you very much for hearing House Bill 289. This bill, simply what it does is that it updates the school attendance policy to be able to include additional licensed professionals. So, for instance, currently statute states that only a physician, MD, is able to write a letter of absence. This here is, as we know, mental health is so important that this bill will allow for school boards to update their policies to reflect the needs of their community by allowing and recognizing professionals such as mental health therapists, clinical social workers, and psychologists. So that basically is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Valdez. Members, are there questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Okay, don't see any questions. There are no amendments. There is public testimony. Karen Mazzola, Florida PTA. Thank you, Ms. Mazzola. And that concludes public testimony. Members, is there debate? Vice Chair Coster, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Rep. Valdez, for this great bill. I think it's so important that we start changing the narrative surrounding mental health, and I think this is a great step in that direction to recognize that a person's or a child's mental health or mental wellness is just as important as their physical health or physical wellness. So thank you for this important bill.
Ranking Member Davis, you're recognized.
Just wanted to say congratulations on hopefully getting your bill across the finish line and on the floor. Congratulations.
All right, members, any further debate? All right, seeing none, Representative Valdez, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I waive close, Mr. Chair.
Representative Valdez, having closed on her bill, Kirsten, please call the roll.
Representatives Caruso.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
DeSegli is excused. Duggan.
Yes.
Hawkins.
Yes.
Hunchowski is excused. Coster.
Yes.
Lamarca.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
McCurdy.
Yes.
Mooney. Nixon.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Tribolsi.
Yes.
Trunow. Williams.
Yes.
Chair Lupus.
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, HB 289 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative.
Thank you, Chair, and happy Valentine's to all.
Thank you so much. All right, now we're moving on to our second bill of the agenda, HB 1117, Education Recovery Scholarship Accounts, by Representative Stevenson. Representative Stevenson, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair Lupus, Vice Chair Coster, and Ranking Member Davis. It's great to be in front of the Education Committee. I appreciate this committee. House Bill 1117 provides financial resources to families when a public school that has been closed as a result of House Bill 1117 provides financial resources to families when a public school that has been closed as a result of an emergency for an extended period of time, for 10 days. This funding is in order to mitigate learning loss. These interruptions can be caused by health, natural, or man-made emergencies. The Education Recovery Scholarship Program would be an education savings account created as a subset of the Reading Scholarship Program and is available to public school students who meet the following criteria: a public school closed for no less than 10 consecutive school days and meets one of the following: a student who scores a level 1 or 2 on the previous year's English Language Arts or Mathematics Florida Standards Assessment, or a student for which a district progress monitoring system has indicated a deficiency; a student who attends a Title I school or a K-8 school who has been identified as part of a school early warning system. The program would be funded on a first-come, first-served basis and would be administered by a scholarship funding organization in the amount of approximately $1,000. These funds can be used for instructional materials, curriculum, tuition and fees for part-time tutoring, specialized summer education programs designed to improve literacy, reading or math, fees for after-school programs designed to improve reading or literacy or math. In the event that there is a declaration of emergency, within 10 days of a declaration of an emergency, stay-at-home order is issued, the school district would notify the family of each eligible student of the availability of the program, as well as the process to request and receive an education recovery scholarship. This is a similar approach to how other scholarship programs work, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Lerner, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative, for the good bill. I just have one, I think, clarification on something you said. So, and this is like the qualifications to receive the scholarship. So I just wanted to make sure I understood the ands and the ors correctly, right? So everybody would have to have missed 10 consecutive days because of an executive order. And then the other list of qualifying conditions, those are all ors. So you could be from a Title I school and had the 10 days, or you could be a 1 or a 2 from the last year's assessment and the 10 days. Is that correct?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Representative Lerner. And I apologize if I presented that a little rough. But yes, first, a public school would have to be closed for no less than 10 consecutive school days and meet one of the following criteria. The basically, in a Title I school, a student that's being monitored for deficiency, who scored a level 1 or 2 in language arts or math, or I think that's may have covered them. But these are kids that we know are at risk anyway, and the interruption could be especially costly.
Members, any additional questions? Representative McCurdy, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Representative Stevenson. My first question is, do we have any idea about or approximate idea how many children today will fall under the criteria as written?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Well, how many would qualify if there was also a 10-day interruption, a 10 consecutive school day interruption in a public school being open is fairly unusual. We've seen it in hurricanes and I think it was in Bay County. We have also, naturally seen it in COVID. I think after COVID, we all kind of focused on, we could see that learning loss really dramatically. So I think this is a good provision. So regardless of the entire population that might be eligible for the enrichment in the event of a school closure, probably the actual number of students that would have both of those criteria is probably not an overwhelming amount.
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Stevenson, my last question is, you mentioned in the bill it says scholarship funding organization. Yes. Could that, for example, be, I know in my, in Orange County, the step up for students, this is why I asked that, because they seem related. It was facilitated by the Central Florida Urban League in our county.
I do not know the names of all of the entities that qualify for that, but I can get that information for you, Representative McCurdy.
Representative Williams, you recognize?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you just walk me through the scholarship process?
You recognize?
Thank you. I don't have it here in front of me right now, but it is the same as some other scholarship processes where there's an application. I can actually go through it. It's in the first, the parent would be notified and file a request within the 10 days, and it is a first come, first serve. It's the money left over in the reading scholarship account that would be available for the funding. Within 20 days, notice would go to the Department of Education. Thank you very much. And is there something more granular you're looking for?
Well, you recognize Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I asked that question because I remember on last session, we had a scholarship program that came through, and one of our members say it was a very hard process for them to actually receive the scholarship. So I want to make sure that this is not the same process that they had to go through to receive the scholarship.
You recognize.
Yeah, I would like to get a better understanding of that because I have not had that experience myself. And certainly when a family is reaching out with this kind of need, you want it to be a good process so it's appropriately awarded and the funds are appropriately administered for, you know, bona fide things and going to deserving, you know, to the right place because the resources are limited. But you would not want it to be tedious and difficult. But I'd be happy to look into that and talk to you about that further. Thank you,
Mrs. Chair. I wait to hear back from her.
Members, any additional questions? Ranking Member Davis, you recognize?
Hey, Representative. Thank you, Chair. This is a $4 million budget request item, right, for these scholarships, an appropriation of about $4 million?
You recognize?
Not sure.
Thank you. My understanding is it's to be funded out of leftover reading scholarship funds.
Okay. I'll go to the next question. So I was trying to get to the dollar amount to ask the question of why not just give the funds directly to the school to help mitigate the learning loss instead of going through this particular procedure.
You recognize?
Thank you. The schools do receive funds to help mitigate learning loss in these kinds of conditions in their FEP, is that right? The FEP, in the
FEP.
There's a line item in that that's appropriate just for that purpose. This is, in the event of an emergency, the school's not open, so it seems appropriate to go and get the assistance, additional assistance directly to the students, the families.
Okay, one quick point.
You recognize.
Thank you, Chair. So with this, it requires reading through this. There's a notification that's required by the school districts, correct? So just for clarity, traditional school districts will provide that notification as well as charter schools for all children, correct?
You recognize.
This bill is directly related to public school closures.
Which encompasses traditional public schools and charter schools.
You recognize?
Yeah, for public school closures.
Thank you.
Representative Caruso.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for the bill. You had mentioned a $1,000 figure for eligible students to receive a scholarship award. Are we raising it from 500 to 1,000, or was it always 1,000?
This is a new scholarship that this bill would establish that would be part of the emergency response in the event of an extended school closure.
Okay, thank you. No further.
Members, any additional questions? Ranking Member Davis.
Yes, Chair, but I'm going to go off the rails a little bit because I think you can answer this little bit better than Rep. Stevenson, not to take away from Rep. Stevenson. In this writing, I'm going to ask that question again. Is a notification requirement of traditional public schools as well as charter schools? I understand when we're talking public schools that our charter schools are also considered public schools, but I want the clarification that this is a notification requirement of both or just one.
So, ranking member, I've never answered a question on another bill before, but we'll take a swing. The language, line 35 explicitly indicates public school, which would be inclusive of charter schools, but we'll get clarity for that prior to the next stop, okay? Yes. You're looking at, okay, we were looking at line 35. Okay, so Representative Stevenson, will you just provide clarity to Ranking Member Davis on the question regarding the traditional public school? Because the language says
the school district notifies the department of a qualifying school.
So the language only says public school. It doesn't classify traditional public school or charter school. It just says public school.
Thank you. And I was giving you as much as I had, but we'll get clarity and get that back. I've got three elements of clarity to McCurdy, Davis, and Williams.
And they will follow up.
That's excellent.
Members, any additional questions? Okay, seeing none, do we have any? There are no amendments. Is there public testimony? We have one, Ethan Merchant from the National Coalition for Public School Options. Waiving support. Thank you, Mr. Merchant. That concludes public testimony. Members, is there debate?
Debate, Mr. Chair.
Representative Williams, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you very much. I think when we have families that's in the process of receiving help or reaching out for help, it should not be a hard process for them to receive that help that we are preparing or putting in the budget for them to actually receive. So I would really like to see us make it all possible so this process that when a family is reaching out, it's not a hard process for them to actually receive whatever help they need. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any further debate? All right, seeing none, Representative Stevenson, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to just mention there is also a provision for the school to also, within 20 days, notify Department of Education that they have a qualifying student or students under this provision, so that might help expedite things as well. I really appreciate the questions. This is the first stop, and this is a new resource for children that are affected by emergencies. House Bill 1117 provides additional funding for students who are already at risk of falling behind, and the closure of their school would be detrimental to their academic progress. I'd appreciate your favorable support. Thank you,
Representative Stevenson. Representative Stevenson, having closed on her bill, Kirsten, please call the roll.
Representatives Caruso.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
DeSegley is excused. Duggan.
Yes.
Hawkins.
Yes.
Hunchofsky is excused. Coster.
Yes.
LaMarca.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
McCurdy.
Yes.
Mooney. Nixon.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Trabulsi.
Yes.
Trunow. Williams.
Yes.
Chiralupis.
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, HB 1117 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Stevenson. All right, members, we're moving on to our final bill of the agenda. If you saw some movement in the back of the room, it was because we didn't realize that Representative Daley was not presenting his bill, so we were searching for him. Then we came to find out that Ranking Member Davis is going to present the bill for him, so that was exciting. Thank you for waiting until the last meeting to do that. Since I have an amendment on this bill, Vice Chair Coster will chair the proceedings for this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is HB 825, School Nutrition Program Requirements, by our very own Representative Davis. Ms. Davis, Representative Davis, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. I spoke with my team earlier, and we already had decided to pretty much go down on this bill, but we've reconsidered. So we hope the committee reconsiders and votes and supports this bill, but I will present it. It is a fellow colleague. In all seriousness, Rep. Daly is not here today because he is attending the memorial service for the 17 lives that were lost during the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas tragedy. So that is the only reason why, Chair, he is not here today to present his own bill. And so with that, I would like to explain HB 825. The legislation provides eligible Florida families with information on Florida Kid Care to ensure children are provided with the comprehensive coverage they need. An estimated 343,000 Florida children were uninsured in 2019, and the second highest number in the nation. By providing parents or guardians with this information, we will improve the lives of many through access to quality, affordable health care. And with that, that is the bill, Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions?
Remember the plan. Stick with the plan.
Representative Lamarco, you're recognized for a question.
I'm going to ask the question, not knowing if you know the answer or not, but because Representative Daly not being here, do we know? So I'm familiar with the number of students who are not on Florida Kid Care that are eligible, but do we know that with respect to the nutrition piece, do we know that this is not being done right now? In other words, the school's not reaching out to parents to make sure they're aware of it?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And from my understanding, there is no communication between the parents and this information, so that's why this bill is being considered. Thank you for that question, though.
Members, any other questions? Did you have a question, Rep. Nixon?
No.
Sorry. Okay, we do have one amendment offered by our Chair Lupus. Chair, you are recognized to explain amendment barcode 683289.
Thank you, Chair Koster. Members, this is an extremely substantive amendment. This weekend, I was counting with my three-year-old daughter, 1 through 10, and when we got to the number 8, we realized that it was succeeded by number 9, not number 16, because right now in the bill, we go from subsection 9, 8 to subsection 16. So what this bill does is remove the number 8 and, number 16 and puts in number 9. So this is a technical amendment.
Thank you, Chair Lupus. Members, we have about an hour and a half left in committee, so if anybody has any questions, there's plenty of time. If anybody has, Rep. Lamarco, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Lupus, had you thought about maybe having your three-year-old come here and testify and maybe clarify this for us?
You're recognized, if you can answer that.
I think she submitted a speaker form.
We'll address that in public testimony. Members, any other questions? Any objection to the substantive amendment? Seeing none, we'll show the amendment adopted without objection. Back on the bill as amended, we do have some public testimony on the bill as amended. Mary Lynn Cullen with the Advocacy Institute for Children is waving in support. And Karen Mazzola, Florida PTA, is waving in support. And that concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the bill as amended? Oh, if you'd like to testify, anybody, you're welcome to. Okay. Rep. Nixon in debate. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. You're not Rep. Daly, but I'm really excited about this bill. My daughter, back in the day, had to tap into Kid Care, but the only reason that I knew about it was folks were like tabling somewhere. So I think this is going to be a very, this is a beneficial program, and I think it's something with this new bill, with it passing, if it gets to the floor and passes, it's going to help a lot of parents. I'm in a lot of mom groups on social media, and a lot of parents are having a hard time as it relates to finding healthcare services, and I know that a lot of them qualify for it, so, and they don't know about Kid Care. I actually said maybe you should go and look up Kid Care if I think you qualify. So I think this will be super helpful, and I'm happy that this bill is before us today.
Chair Lupus, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In all seriousness, I think this is a fantastic bill, and Ranking Member Davis, I appreciate you carrying this. Rep. Daly's where he needs to be right now. But as somebody who's worked in this space for more than a decade and done work around kid care, I know that there are certain counties that have tied the free and reduced lunch application to the kid care application in certain school districts and seen tremendous impact for the students and the family. So I think this is a tremendous bill and will have a meaningful impact. So thank you for carrying it.
Rep. LaMarca, you're recognized.
Thank you. And I agree with what our chair had to say about Representative Daly. And I appreciate you bringing this bill forward. As you know, I may have talked a little bit about a kid care bill, eligibility bill that is kind of hopefully going to move forward next year. I'll say that. I spent almost 4 years on the kid care board, and it boggled the mind that there are folks that are not aware of that program. And as Rep. Nixon said, not aware of that program, and it's nearly a third of a million families in Florida. So this will go a long way to making sure people are aware that not just the program, but how high quality of a program it is.
Any other members in debate? Seeing none, Rep. Davis, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. I am not Rep. Daly, but I would just like to express appreciation for the members that made comments, very powerful comments. I think for a bill that is obviously needed to ensure that parents and families have this information in hand to be able to make these decisions for their children and their families. So I really, really know that Rep. Daly would be very appreciative of the powerful comments you made. So thank you for that. And I ask for the support of my colleagues in ensuring that we vote in support of this bill. With that, I close, Chair.
Thank you, Rep. Davis. Having closed on the bill, Kirsten, please call the roll.
Representative Caruso.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
DeSegli is excused. Duggan.
Yes.
Hawkins.
Yes.
Hunchowski is excused. Coster.
Yes.
LaMarca.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
McCurdy.
Yes.
Mooney. Nixon.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Trabulsi.
Yes.
Truenow. Williams.
Yes.
Chairlupus.
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, members. By your vote, HB 825 will be reported favorably. And I suppose I have to turn this back over to Chairlupus.
All right, members, that concludes our agenda today. But my prophecy last week that this that may not be the last meeting came true. That was not the last meeting. This will be the last meeting. So I would like to recognize Vice Chair Coster, if she has any remarks, and Ranking Member Davis.
Thank you, Chair. I feel like I probably spoke enough already for this meeting, but I do want to just thank you and Adam and the rest of the staff. This has been an incredible session. We've done a lot of great work. This committee is so passionate, and I love that, and it shows in all of the questions that are asked and the debate that's had. And so I just thank you for the opportunity to be here and play a role.
Ranking Member Davis.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. I concur the comments of Representative Coster for starting the conversation off. I just want to say on behalf of, you know, my team and what we wanted to say is, you know, we appreciate your leadership. You know, this early learning is a prominent place in the educational cycle, and I am very thankful that you are leading this charge. Again, thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your vision with this committee. We all, I think, feel the same way. This is probably seriously one of the best committees that we all have. And it's because of you. It's because of you. It's because of the camaraderie that you make sure we feel when we come to this committee. I have been thoroughly excited for serving as your ranking member for the last 2 years. And if there was opportunity to say I would love to be here for a third year, I would love that. But unfortunately, I will not be here. So with that, again, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to all of the committee members. It really is. We don't land on some of this policy on the same side, but we handle this policy, whether we're on the left or the right of it, we handle it in this committee the best way possible. And I think this committee has truly been an example of how you get to the bottom and you get into the weeds and we walk out having a good time and being friends at the end of the day. So again, because of all of that we feel, it's because of you, Chair Alupas, and the enjoyment and vision you have for this committee. So thank you for all of that. And thank you for my team. Appreciate serving with you.
Thank you, Ranking Member. I take issue with it being one of the best committees. I think it is the best committee. But the record will reflect what you
I have other committees to go to. Okay.
In all seriousness, and we said it last week, I need to thank the gentleman to the right of me, Adam Brink. I don't know if you have any sense of how often he and I talk throughout the week and how much he prepares us for each and every agenda and how much of what we get to hear is part of just the experiences he's had in this space and his vision and, you know, sort of helping to guide me and work on bills, whether it's a PCS or an amendment. So, Adam, we're really grateful for you. You are the best. And everyone upstairs in the office, Joanna, Shayna, Naomi, the whole Ed suite is just incredible. Kirsten, I just want to share. And again, obviously, you know, Vice Chair Koster, it was really, really difficult to hand this over, but I'm glad it was going to you and not to Representative Rodriguez and Ranking Member Davis. I count you as a true friend. So thank you for everything. shut his mic off. But in all seriousness, and then we'll close. When I first heard that we were going to have a committee that was explicitly focused on this space, it was something that I had never seen in my 10 years in and around Tallahassee, that we were going to have a committee focused exclusively on early learning and elementary education, because our issues had always sort of been pushed to the back because K-12 issues and higher ed issues are much sexier. And I think that you really can't talk about the no, you know what I mean, Representative Williams. I'm on a roll. But in all seriousness, you can't have the conversation about K-12 and higher ed without having the conversation about early learning. And the fact that we had a committee to talk exclusively about these issues, I think, is illustrative of the leadership that we have in this chamber. And I still remember exactly where I was when I got the notification. When the committee came out, I remember Representative Grawl called, and she said, they've got a committee that sounds like you. And I said, man, I hope I get on it. And I still remember getting the call that I would get to be the chair of this committee. And for those of you who know, like, I spent 7 years coming up here trying to get meetings with people like us and people not taking the meeting. And, you know, to fast forward to where we are now and get to help guide this policy is probably one of the greatest blessings of my life. So it's not lost on me. And I'm so grateful to Chair Latvala and to Speaker Sprouls for giving us this space. But I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I love this committee. I love each and every one of you so much. I love how much time you've given. I love the passion you've given. I love the energy that you've given. I love the questions that you've asked. And I challenge you. I really challenge you to find another committee that comes together to discuss these issues. Wherever you fall when the roll call is made, you know, this committee loves one another, and that's why it will always be the BCE. So never forget that. But again, from the bottom of my heart, I'm grateful to each and every single one of you. Been a heck of a ride. And with that, seeing no further business in front of the agenda, Ranking Member Davis moves your eyes.